Thank you, Millie. And we are going to miss Dick Tracy. I remember one Wednesday night, he came up here and played, and he walked down, and I said, "Dick, have you ever played The Devil Went Down to Georgia?" And do y'all remember that? He turned around and said, "No, and I don't believe I ever will." And he had to know what it was or what it is. So I think he could have handled it, but that wasn't who he was playing for, I'll promise you. All right, turn to Hebrews 2, 5 through 13. And because of the blizzard of 2016, we were not here last Wednesday night. And so we're going to pick up what we should have done last Wednesday night. We start with verse 5 of chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews. "It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone is testified. What is mankind that you're mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, 'I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises.' And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, 'Here am I and the children God has given to me.'" Now, how many of you tonight have your smartphones or your flip phones? I was in the Verizon store the other day, and I want you to know that they are continuing to make flip phones. Now, those may be recycled, but they're there for some of us who might not want a smartphone. But how many of you got your smartphone? You can get it out right now and hold it up. We wouldn't do that with teenagers present. All right, I want you to think about this when you have your smartphone in your hand. Do you realize there are all kinds of invisible signals that are coming in all around us? Just before I came in tonight, somebody sent me a text message, and I needed to respond. I want you to know, without that phone, I could not have received that invisible signal and read that text message. I haven't learned how to do it, but I understand that you can get all kinds of music downloads in your phone. And you know how that comes? Through an invisible signal. You can talk to people. You can receive calls. But let me ask you a question. Could you text, check your emails, or talk to somebody if you didn't have a phone to receive the signals? Absolutely not. Now I want you to think about this. The way God reveals His will and His plans on this earth is through human beings. We're actually what one Bible scholar called God's conduit. Our humanity is God's conduit for the purpose of receiving and achieving God's goal for this world. So we're going to take up here with verse 5 in chapter 2. And I want you to see here that the little passage in there is that we read, it's probably indented in your Bible, is actually a quote from Psalm 8. One Bible scholar said, "I think that one night David was tending his sheep. It was a dark, clear, starry night. All he could hear was the chirping of crickets, the bleating of sheep, maybe a coyote howling in the distance. He just laid back on his back and propped his head up with his hand, and he looked up into the universe, and he asked this question: what is man? So when you read verses 5 through 9 here, you'll find some of the conclusions he drew under the inspiration of God. Notice he says, when he talks about man, he says, "You made him a little lower than angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands." So when God made man, God crowned man with glory and honor in three different ways. Now when you read this text, it's awfully confusing. And when you leave, you're going to be more confused than when you came. But that gives you purpose. First of all, I want you to see that God detailed man. Remember back in Genesis 1:26, we find these words: "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on this earth." You recall the beautiful creation story where God gave Adam a responsibility. Remember, he was told he was to name what? Name all the animals. And so it says there he gave him his own dignity, his own design. And he said, name each insect, whatever you want to call them. So he gave man dominion over all the creatures of this earth. Notice that we were designed and patterned after the pattern of God himself. And that's kind of a mind-blowing truth, that God made us in his likeness, that we're made in the likeness of God. Now, in what respect are we made in the likeness of God? Well, God is spirit. God is pure spirit. We're made in his likeness. Now, think about this. When we think about God, we think about the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When God made us, he made us as a Trinity. We are body, we are soul, and we are spirit. He made us this physical body. Today I had Alice Springs chicken for lunch. I didn't pay attention to what it was made out of, but it was glorious. It was grilled chicken with bacon strips, cheese, and mushrooms. And I only ordered the 5-ounce size. And then in the interest of good health, I ordered steamed broccoli. I hate broccoli, but I ate it anyway. And then I had a little bread to go with that. I'm so thankful God made our bodies so that when we go to Cracker Barrel, we can taste every morsel that we swallow. And then God made us, he also made us with our soul. That's your psychological makeup. And then he made us with spirit. That's our spiritual makeup. So you think about this: with our body, we stand, and then the world is beneath us. And then we think about our soul, our psyche, and you relate to the world around you. And with your spirit, you relate to God who is above us. So you are made by God's design. Second thing I want you to see here is God gave us a high degree of worth. He was not only made by God, man, we were made for God and for fellowship with God, and man was given the dignity of being made in the likeness of God. I don't know about you, but when I first start getting sick, in my mind, I'm thinking, no, this really can't be what I think this is. You know, your throat gets a little scratchy. Well, you say, well, maybe those French fries that I ate for lunch, I pierced part of my throat. You ever do that? And sometimes when Delaine will serve a meal, and lots of times for dessert, we just have grapefruit. And for some reason, that makes my tongue break out. And so I think, well, maybe it's the grapefruit I ate last night and my throat's just getting ulcers and my throat. Y'all ever do that? And then the next thing I start doing is spraying Zicam. And Zicam is a wonderful thing. If you do get a cold or a throat infection, oftentimes it will cut down on the life of that. And so then I'll make a little trip to Walmart, and I'll buy me some over-the-counter things. Chris Giddens thinks Airborne will cure heart disease. We're going to find that out with him after Krispy Kreme opens to see if Airborne will cure heart disease. And so this thing goes down into your vocal cords, and then you're running a fever, and you're thinking, this over-the-counter stuff is just not working. So then it's time to call the doctor to get something a little more heavy duty. Well, I want you to know, in our own humanness, there's some things that we can't fix in and of ourselves. There's some problems we have that we simply cannot overcome. So I want you to know, one of the things that we do is we have to recognize the poverty of our spirit and our total dependence on God. The third thing I want you to see here is God wants fellowship and dependence with us, but God gave us dominion on this earth. It says, God who ruled the universe, who ruled history, who is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, gave man dominion. Genesis 1:26, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over all the earth. So God said to man, subdue the earth. He said to man, I put you in charge of the garden. Adam and Eve were placed in the garden, and they were to dress the garden and tend the garden. They were placed in a perfect environment. That's something we can't even fathom. It was a perfect place called the Garden of Eden. They had dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field. And there's coming again a day when man will once again have dominion. But we notice also the downfall of man. Go back to verse 8 in chapter 2. In this story, man is charged with guilt. In verse 8 of this text, he says that he will put all things in subjection under his feet, but that he put all subjection in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. Man's sin, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What happened to man? Man disobeyed God. Romans 5:12 says this, therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So the writer says that through that man, Adam, sin entered into the world. Then what happened? God's design in man was marred. Man was no longer dwelling on this earth in the perfect design of God. I want you to know that God's dignity in man was marred. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember what God said. He told Adam and Eve, in the day you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And I want you to know, when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit, here's what began to happen. He didn't die physically right then. His soul didn't die. But I want you to know, spiritually, at that moment, when they disobeyed God, their spirit died. Do you realize that Adam and Eve were never to have tasted death? But once they partook of the forbidden fruit, their bodies began to decline. So, tonight, if you're hurting with your rheumatism and your arthritis, you can blame Adam and Eve for that, okay? It goes all the way back. And then if you're kind of declining a little bit with your soul and your psyche, you can blame them. Billy came in my office yesterday, and he was asking me this, and I have to do this all the time. And he said, he was describing a man in our church. He's very faithful and this kind of stuff. And I said, I've known that man 10 or 12 years. I know his name. He's here every Sunday morning. He said, I know his name too. And we just sat there and went back and forth. It was one of the few times I could come up with the name. Normally I call Warren. And Warren and I, we paint word pictures with each other on the phone, and he finally gets me a name. But if you're declining mentally, you can blame Adam and Eve for that, because that's when it began, when they disobeyed God. But I want you to know the soul died. I want you to know, I'm talking about the spirit died. And I want you to know eternal death is separation of the spirit and the soul from God. Now today, suppose you take a child out that's never seen a train. Now remember what I said. We're created in the likeness of God, right? You go with a child. You take a child and you say, I want to show you what a train looks like. And so you go to a location where an Amtrak train has just crashed. Have you ever seen what those cars look like right after one of those train wrecks? They're all smashed up. And you tell that child, this is what a passenger train looks like. Well, that's not true. That's what a wrecked train looks like. You know, when you tell somebody, if you want to know what God looks like, show him another human being. That's not what God looks like. Because man is what? Disobeyed God. We have a sin nature. And I want you to know that we don't look like God. We think about Jesus. He came in this world to connect and correct what Adam did, and once again establish a relationship with God the Father. Remember, Jesus was 100% divine. He was 100% human when he was on this earth, but he never, ever knew sin. Let me wander off to another passage here. Luke 19:35 to talk to you about dominion for a minute. You don't have to turn there, but in Luke 19:35, you're going to find the story of when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now, what did he tell his disciples to do? He told a couple of them to go find a colt, a donkey. It's never been ridden. And just let the owner know that I have need of that colt. Did you hear what I said? One that has never been ridden. How many of you, when you were growing up, ever went to a donkey ball game? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? I was taken to one of those when I was about 6 years old. Now, PETA wouldn't let that happen anymore because they did shock them in the rear end a few times, and I never did understand the object of the game, but I know one thing. Their hind legs would just about go up over their head right if they were shocked. Let me ask you a question. What would happen tomorrow morning if you said, hey, I'm going to go ride a donkey, and you got on one that's never been ridden before? What's going to happen? What happened when Jesus got on that donkey and never been ridden before? Went riding into Jerusalem. You know what I think? I think that donkey realized what a whole lot of human beings don't realize. The creator of the whole universe is riding on my back. And Jesus had what? Perfect dominion over that colt. Now listen to me carefully. When Adam and Eve were created, they were meant to have total dominion, rule and reign over every animal, fowl, and fish of the sea. But what happened? They disobeyed God. You go over to another cross reference, and you'll see where Peter bragged to Jesus. He said, everybody else may forsake you and turn their back on you but I never will." And Jesus looked at him and said, "You'll deny me three times before the cock crows." What happened to Peter? Number one. Number two. Number three. And at one point, we think he even cursed while he was denying Jesus. Jesus looked at that rooster, and on cue, he went cock-a-doodle-doo. Did he not? Why is that? Because Jesus has dominion over what? Everything. Foul the air. And then, you know, this time of the year, we're talking about taxes. So the disciples were complaining about paying their taxes. So Jesus said, "I want you to go down, catch fish. And when you catch that fish, I want you to open his mouth. And once you look in his mouth, and you're going to find a coin in there. And it's going to be the exact amount it will take to pay your taxes." Now I know all you going fishing tomorrow. And you're going to run those fish through an MRI machine, see if you can find enough in there to pay your taxes. But Jesus communicated with the fish of the sea. He had dominion. Animals, foul, fish of the sea. What Adam lost and what we don't have today, we don't have dominion over the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, or the fish of the sea. You see, all of them rebelled against us when man rebelled against God. Through grace, man's dignity is restored. In other words, in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, this kind of blows your mind here. When we're born again, man's dignity in you is restored because Christ comes into our life. And when God looks at you and me, born again, He doesn't see you. He sees the perfect life of Christ in us. Well, through God's grace, I want you to know here that there's a new man inside of us. Now, through grace, man's dominion is restored. And notice what he says here. He's restored. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood," that is, you and me, we're flesh and blood, "he himself likewise shared in the same." So Jesus on this earth was flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, and that is the devil. God is in the process of restoring our dominion. Now, what did Jesus say in the Beatitudes? He said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall do what? Inherit the earth." He's talking about the 1,000-year reign of Christ. When he comes and sets up his kingdom here on earth, the Bible says we shall rule and reign with him. Now let's go back to the passage here. Last three sentences. "But now we do not yet see all things put under him." So with the physical eye, we don't see heartache and injustice and war and famine. We don't see that put under him right now. We look everywhere and we see things are still evident in the earth, but we see Jesus. You know, I was talking to a police officer today from another county. He came to see me in my office. Ellen buzzed in there and she said, "You got time to see a police officer?" I said, "Oh yeah, send him in." He sat down and he said, "Man, I'm telling you," he said, "I'm going to retire in March. I'll have 30 years. He said, "You won't believe what we're dealing with out here." He said, "We've got young police officers coming to work for us that have no work ethic." He said, "They stay for 2 years and they quit and go in another profession." And he said, "You ask them, well, why'd you become a police officer?" They said, "It looks good on my resume." He said, "I was called in a business the other night where 10 employees were fired at the same time because all of them tested positive to drugs while they were on the job. One of the girls said, well, marijuana is legal in California, in Colorado. What's wrong with us smoking a little weed? He said, I arrested 2 college students last night smoking pot. And he asked one of the young ladies, why do you do this? And she said, it makes me think faster. So he just took her in, pressed charges on her. I heard the outcome of the court case in Texas. Did you hear that yesterday? Where the undercover group went in and found out that Planned Parenthood was selling body parts of babies, and the judge turned everything around yesterday. Said Planned Parenthood's not guilty, was pressing charges against those who did the video and the fake buying of body parts. Did you see that? You know, we're in a tough world right now. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ is going to turn all this around. He's still got dominion. Notice God's desire to restore our glory. Look down at verse 10. It became him for whom all are all things, chapter 2 of Hebrews, and by whom are all things and bring many sons to glory. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's glory is restored in your life. Now listen to me carefully. Now I believe this, and you may differ, and that's fine. You may be right and I may be wrong. But I believe that when Adam was created, Adam had the Shekinah glory on the outside of him. And I believe when he disobeyed God, that was taken away. And why do I say this? Let me give you a couple of texts here. In John 17:22, when you and I are saved, Jesus said in John 17:22, the glory which you gave me, I have given them. But then over in Colossians 1:27, says Christ in you, the hope of glory. With us, instead of on the outside, when we get saved, he gives us his glory on the inside. The Holy Spirit comes to take residence with us. Now, salvation is experience. Think about this. We've got salvation, sanctification, and glorification. Sanctification is while we're walking here on this earth, where as we surrender to the leadership of the Spirit every day and follow His Word and His will for our life, we're molded to become more like Jesus. So what's happening is, what is on the inside of us is what? Being shaped on the outside so we magnify Christ and people see Christ in us. I know some dedicated Christians and people say, oh, boy, when I'm around that person, that's just somebody that walks with God. You know what that is? That's the glory that on the inside and that sanctification process that's getting on the outside. And that's God's desire for all of us. And then glorification, perfection, will be when God calls us home. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. But we all with open face, beholding in the glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, here's something I want you to see. And I've taken this book of Hebrews and seminary courses and studied it over and over. And if I've ever seen this, I don't remember it. Well, I want you to notice something. Down in verse 11, Jesus calls us brethren In verse 12, he calls us brethren. And in verse 13, he calls us his children. Now, I don't want you to miss what it says here. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, verse 11b. Verse 12, he says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again he says, here am I and the children God has given me. I probably shared this with you before, but I need to hear it again. My dad owned two or three 1952 Chevrolets. When we made it to the seventh grade, we went to A. Bryan Mary. It was the first year that school was open. I think that when I was put in that school, the average income of the families that were representing that school, the highest I'd ever been affiliated with in my few years in forced education. I mean, the parents would show up in Mercedes. They would show up in Cadillacs. And I remember the big Buick Rivieras were hot back then. There'd be an occasion when maybe we would be running late, and Dad would say, son, I've cranked up the Chevy out there. Get your books and get in. I'm going to take you to school. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Most of his 52 Chevys didn't have a whole lot of paint on them either. And it was the kind that had the pull-out choke in the dashboard. Y'all remember that? You put the key in, you turned it didn't do anything, and you pulled the choke, and then you hit the starter button on the other side. Y'all with me? And he put us in that 52 Chevy. You all know how you go pick up your children and grandchildren. You got to take them all the way to the front door. Everybody can see what your parents look like and what you're driving. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'd have been tickled to death if Daddy would have dropped me off on the coldest, rainiest morning about a block away from school and let me walk in looking like a wet dog. Because people were critical of us. It was hard to take. And you were shunned through certain little social groups because your dad drove a 52 Chevy. You know what? I was kind of ashamed of my dad then. Isn't that horrible? The way we act sometimes, we don't take advantage of opportunities to share Christ with lost people, and we just blend in with the lost people out here. We act like we're ashamed of Christ. But I want you to look at that text I just read for you. He said, one day, when God's church is all gathered up in glory and before the Father, Jesus is going to sing a song about us before the Father. He's going to praise us, not as being superior to Him. We're washed in the blood. That's the only reason we're there. He is not going to be ashamed of us as His children before the throne. I don't know about you, but I never noticed in Scripture where Jesus is singing in heaven about His church. And then notice how He closes. He says, and again, I will put my trust in Him. You remember the words of Scripture. If you will confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. Jesus is even going to do that in song. Man from the garden in one day, we'll see His glory, and our glory will be totally restored. Let's pray together.